Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast, looking ahead to seven fantastic races on ITV4 on Saturday from Warwick and Market Raisin. Don't be fooled by the fact that they're not the biggest venues in the jumps game. We've got some really good racing. And we've also got a cracking contest on Sunday to look forward to. That really will be interesting. I'm Bruce Millington. And joining me today to look ahead to a good weekend of racing are Tom Collins and Keith Melrose from the Racing Post. And making his postcast debut from Paddy Power, we've got Graham Temple. Graham, welcome along to the postcast. How are you, my friend?
Well, apart from a slight touch of nervousness with this my debut on the Racing Post postcast, I'm not too bad. Enjoying the lockdown, if the truth be told.
You're enjoying it? Why?
Because there's live sport on the TV.
And there's always live sport on the TV and pubs open and restaurants and shops and travel, but you're just so single-minded, you're happy to just sit at home and watch the sport and enjoy it, are you?
Well, I'm glad you said single, you see, because as a single gentleman, nobody's annoying me and I'm allowed to watch the snooker and the racing and the football. And so long as there's live sport on the TV, I think we'll all survive.
You're making me very jealous, Graham. Okay, we'll get Graham's thoughts and all Paddy Power's prices throughout the show. We'll start with Warwick on Saturday. Four good races there. The first is on at 1:50. They're all on ITV4. It's a three-mile chase. It's the McCoy Contractors Civils and Infrastructure Hampton Novices Chase. Just three runners, but it's going to be very informative in terms of how the big prizes for the novice chases are going to pan out this season. Graham, give us a show of betting and then we'll get Keith's views on it.
Oh, next destination tops the market with Paddy at 8-11, Fiddler on the Roof 13-8, and Golden Fortune, the Ragged the Trio, at 7-1, Bruce.
What do you make of this one, Keith?
Next destination's a bet, isn't it?
I'm asking you.
Yeah, it's Fiddler on the Roof. People keep thinking this is a really good horse. And if there's any reason that he might in this race, it's the heavy ground that he's suited him so well when he won those races at Sandown last year. But Fiddler on the Roof has now had four chances over fences. And, you know, he's established. He's a 1/50 type horse. And next destination is better than that if he becomes the chaser he looked like becoming when he was a novice hurdler. And the indications from him winning in the John Frankham is that he will do that. And I mean, Golan Fortune is possibly being a little bit dismissively priced at 7-1. I thought he ran extremely well in the Calto Star. But yeah, next destination 8-11. I think if you had get me having a bet in this race, I am backing him.
Keith, is there any sort of mitigating circumstances for Fiddler on the Roof? What is a fairly disappointing start to his chase career? Is there jumping that he can kind of brush up on? Or, you know, what would you say?
What I would say is the evidence is building that he was never actually any better than about a 1:50 horse. He handled the mud a lot better than some horses last season. He's getting the mud now, so he might get back to that level. There's no indication, particularly from his pedigree or anything I'm seeing in his races, that he's going to suit a longer trip particularly, certainly not longer than 2.5 miles. I just think he's a horse that people got excited about and they're struggling to come to terms with the fact that we've seen more or less his ceiling.
Okay, interesting start from Keith. He's very sweet on next destination. Tom, what do you make of this?
Yeah, well, there's only three runners, but it's a good quality addition, isn't it? You've got both Fiddler on the Roof and Next Destination, who come into the race with higher official ratings than any of the last 10 winners of this event. So it's quite a decent affair, and it looks a match to me. I can't really have Girl and Fortune. I know Next Destination has to give £5 away, but his level of form is just better than Fiddler on the Roof, I think. And with stamina doubts potentially for Fiddler on the Roof, you have to side with Nichols' runner, especially given Colin Tizard hasn't had a winner for 24 days. 24 days. I know he's a patchy trainer, but that is a long period of time and I can't be back in horse from his stable at the moment.
Fair enough. Okay, Graham, make it a winner. It's a nice, easy start for you. There's only three runners. And the key to this is do not be swayed by what our guys do, okay? You want to fly in the that's what Niall and Frank do. They stand their ground. They're never won over by the compelling arguments of our guys. So come on then, start off with a winner, Graham.
I'm certainly going to try. It was interesting there what Tom said about Colin Tizard not having a winner for his last 24 days. That's actually, he's had 26 runners in that time scale. But I'm a great believer in the laws of averages, Bruce, and the laws of the probabilities of having a winner because he's overdue. We've all waited for a bus and then one comes along and two come at the same time. Well, I think Mr. Tizard's due a turn. Fiddler's on the Roof, remember, he was a very, very warm favourite when Allart beat him at Ascot in December the 18th. Now, that wasn't the first time Fiddler on the Roof was cut short for a turn of speed. And I think it's really interesting that they're stepping this Fiddler on the Roof up in trip. I think it's going to suit him. He stayed on after Allert had put the race to bed. And although he's stepping up quite considerably in trip, I think it's an interesting angle from Tizard to step Fiddler on the Roof up in trip. So a turn of pace won't be such an emphasis on that. And I just think he's a bit of value in a three-runner race. We've already eliminated the rag of the three. And I think Fiddler on the Roof at odds against is a bet here.
Okay, the two Racing Post boys really like Next Destination, and Graham is with Fiddler on the Roof. Let's move on to the 225 at Warwick. It's a 2 mile, 5 furlong grade two novice hurdle. It's the Ballymore Leamington. Always a good pointer to the future. And it's also a really competitive betting heat this year, Graham.
It absolutely is, isn't it? Wide open race here. Adramel and Make Me a Believer share the share favoritism at the moment with Paddy at 7-2. Oscar Elite's 9-2. 11-2 Midnight River. JB Wise 15-2. 8-1 Mint Condition. 10-1 Optimized Prime. And it's 11-1 and bigger the rest, Bruce.
Tom, this is often a very informative race, not always a really good betting heat. This year it's both, isn't it? What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's definitely. There's plenty of unexposed types in here, aren't there, with attractive form figures. So the market's wide open, and it's really hard to split them. Comparing their novice hurdle form is rather difficult, all the six-year-olds in the field. And I thought the bet in the race is the older horse, Mint Condition, who won a handicap hurdle with consummate ease last time off a mark of 1.27. Now, I know handicapping into this event is a big jump in class, but he's proven, and at a decent price, I think he's each way bet in the race. He seems to be improving all the time. He travelled beautifully last time, and then he put the race to bed with ease. And he could plausibly be coming into this race off four consecutive victories if he didn't make a hash of the third last Aintree on his penultimate outing. I think he's probably the bet in here, but there could be a joker in the pack, the likes of JBY, Optimus Prime, even at a price.
Okay. So Tom likes the 8-1 shot Mint Condition. Who does Graham like?
An interesting race, this 225 at Warwick. We're actually giving money back as a free bet if your selection finishes second, third, or fourth if the favourite wins. And I've gone for a bit of an outsider here in this 225. Anyone can remember Sending Love running at Sandown on December the 4th. You'll remember it's a small field, and Sending Love tried to make the pace. And I don't think it suited. The pace was too slow. This Sending Love is going to enjoy the larger field today. The race should be run at a true pace. And remember, this thing's only having its fifth start under rules. Paul Nichols flying at the moment, 10 winners from his last 35 starts. He's not averse to getting a winner at a big price either, Mr. Nichols. And I think Sending Love is an each-way play here at a nice, tasty 14-1.
Thank you, Graham. Keith, have you managed to find an angle on this?
The guys have both put up sort of bigger priced runners, and I think that illustrates to you how I'm a little bit reluctant to get absolutely tucked into anything at the sort of price I'm looking at. But I am pretty sure Make Me a Believer should be favourite. The Cheltenham run was quite comfortably, there was only three races on the hurdles course that day, but it was comfortably the best of them. The way that he and Any News, who I actually had fancied to win the Winter Novices Hurdle at Sandown the week before, that was eventually won by the Evan Williams horse, whose name slips my mind, running the cello. These two pulled really far clear of Lucky One, the Paul Nichols horse, just left them for dead. And I think that form is, you know, it's rated 138 on RPRs. I think it could be even better than that. This horse, it already is top on the figures, should be further clear as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, you know, you're 7-2 the pair at the moment. I think this horse should be 5-2, 11-4.
Keith is a believer in Make Me a Believer. Also got tips in that race for Mint Condition and Sending Love. And don't forget what Graham said there. If you go onto Paddy Power or bet through the Racing Post app, bet up to a tenner. And if your horse doesn't win and finishes second, third or fourth, you get your money back. That's decent. Let's do the 3 o'clock at Warwick next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. We are looking at the 3 o'clock at Warwick. It's live on ITV4. It's the McCoy Contractors Civil Engineering Classic Handicap Chase over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. And in grueling conditions, this will take some getting. It's a tricky old heat. Graham, I want Paddy Power's latest betting, and then you can be the first person to try and solve the puzzle.
I'll certainly try the 3 o'clock at Warwick. We're going an extra place on this, 4 places up for grabs. I was talking to the traders and they say there's been a bit of support for the Hollow Ginge. The betting is as follows: Captain Chaos 4-1, Not a Chance 9-2, Storm Control is a 5-1 shot, 11-2 Le Broil, Walk in the Mill is 10-1, 11-1 Django Django, and it is 12-1, and bar those, Bruce. So you asked me for my pick. I have talked to our traders, Ryan McHugh and Frank Hickey, and I know Ryan tipped up Le Broil 3 days ago at Catterick, and the meeting was abandoned. It's an interesting horse, I think, this Le Broil. He's had a wind surgery since finishing third in the Beecher Chase 42 days ago. Frank mentioned to me that this Le Broil will have to go close to winning this race to get into the National, which will be its main target. And I'm going to stick with the lads. I think the underfoot conditions are going to suit. You've got the extra place. I think Le Broil each way has to be my play here.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Graham. And I will give a quick shout out here to an excellent column in the Racing Post today by our next tipster, Keith Melrose, in which he has an extensive chat with Frank Hickey, rather, about how he goes and finds his winners. You can check that out on the website. Very good piece, that. Keith, who do you like here?
Graham actually mentioned him first of all before he mentioned any other horse. I backed the Hollow Ginge almost immediately after Dex came out yesterday. I had a flick through and thought, how is this horse still 20-1? And I thought I'd get maybe a little bit bigger, but unfortunately he's come in a little bit, so I might have to go in again at a shorter price than I was hoping. But he's a horse that I've never fancied him for any race in his life, and then I've all of a sudden find myself really drawn to him in this race. I think this horse is very much a stayer. He's not really had a go over the sort of trip yet. And I think he really suits very testing ground, which he's going to get. It'll be heavy grounds at Warwick on Saturday. He finished fourth in the Ladbrokes Trophy and was the only horse in that race to make any move from off the pace. He nearly caught the conditional in the end. That was a really, really smashing run. And last week he ran in the Welsh Grand National and moved up from the back to take sort of reasonably high order when he unseated on the first fence down the back. He just made a Horlicks of it. Now, he does tend to be a little bit more patiently ridden, and he does tend to meet the odd jumping error. Neither of those are perfect for Warwick, but at 20-1, you can't have everything. And this horse, I just think, he's handicapped. We're still to see the best of him, I think. He's only just turned 8. This is the bet in the race, I think. It's not the hottest classic chase we'll ever see, and the Hollow Ginge stands out as the bet to me.
Thank you, Keith. Who stands out as the bet for you, Tom Collins?
Well, unlike the lads, I've narrowed the shortlist down to two, and neither of them have been mentioned so far. Django Django and Not a Chance were the two that I came down to. I've ended up siding with Alan King's run and Not a Chance. On the basis that he just seems to be improving. He's only had 10 starts. He remains completely unexposed. And his victory at Bangor last time over 3 miles was really impressive. He stayed on powerfully up the run-in to suggest that this kind of trip will suit. Back in the field, that in third was the subsequent Welsh National second, the Two Amigos. And Not a Chance in Django Django ran in a Newbury handicap last year. They finished 1-2. Django Django beat Not a Chance that day. And they both get lightweights this time around. I think they're both going to be primed for this race. And I think they'll probably finish 1-2 again. Hopefully Not a Chance comes out on top though.
Okay, thank you very much, Tom. And finally for Warwick, the 3:35, which is the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle. It's over 3 miles and 1 furlong. And we've got some old favourites here. Lovely old To Be Fair runs Potter's Corner, last year's Welsh Grand National hero. He's out. It's a very competitive race, Graham. How do Paddy Power bet?
Well, once again, we're going an extra place in this race. 4 places in this 3:35. And we go 9-2 the field. That brings in Come On Teddy, who tops the market. Then you've got Capage at 6-1 for David Pipe. Imperial Alcazar is 7s. Also at 7-1, we've got Flemcara and Potter's Corner. 15-2, Espion. And it's 10-1, Barthos.
Thanks, Graham. And don't forget, if you ever hear Graham mention offers or extra places, those are available. You can bet direct with Paddy Power through the Racing Post app. OK, Keith, we're back with you to go first. This is a head scratcher, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yes, and I don't ever have the biggest bets in these big field handicaps like this, although I think what I'll be backing in this race is probably the same as what the Paddy Power trader is back, because you can get a little bit bigger than what he's offering about Capage. I think he's the one to be with. He's only, since his under rules, his only defeat came at Cheltenham last time in November now. That run against Stimulating Song, it just looked like a horse that was outpaced down the hill. And, you know, it was his first run since February too, so you can suggest he's going to come on for that run a little bit more. He really did shape like a stayer that day. He gets up. Now, the thing to remember about this Pertence qualifier at Warwick is it is a little bit further than most of the Pertence qualifiers. It is one of any that can really test stamina even more than the final particularly. So you're looking for a horse that's going to stay well. I think Capage is going to stay 3 miles plus, no problem at all. And now he's got that run behind him. Yeah, I think he's the bet in this race.
Okay, Capage is Keith's selection. Tom, have you got a strong view here?
No, I thought this was really tricky. When I looked at the decks on Monday, when I was writing my RFO column, I really fancied my Hayed for this, but Dan Skelton's rerouted him to Market Raisin, a race that we'll come to later, which kind of left me at a bit of a quandary because I didn't really fancy anything that's left in the race. I'm going to tentatively put up Mr. Harp off near bottom weight, trainer Tom Gallagher, who's literally only had a handful of winners, I think four under rules. But this eight-year-old's really lightly raced, only had six starts. He only made his hurdling debut in October. And in two starts over 3 mile plus, he's finished in the money and a couple of Southall maiden hurdles behind a really smart Paul Nichols trained horse called Barbados Bucks. And then he dotted up last time in heavy ground. So with stamina assured, heavy ground is suitable. I think Mr. Harp off 10 stone, a mark of 1-2-2 is a decent each way bet, but it's not one I'm overly confident in.
Let's see how confident Graham is. Graham, we've got one vote for Capage and we've got one for Mr. Harp. Where's your cross going?
Well, I'm going to double the votes for Capage by going for this one. David Pipe, who trains this, has won with three of his last six runners, has been supported. We had it in at much bigger than its current price yesterday. And this one stayed on. We all saw it stayed on well for fourth after being outpaced with about two or three to jump over 2 miles, five furlongs at Cheltenham on November the 14th. It just looks like a horse that's going to be really suited by this step up and trip. And as we all remember, David Pipe's dad comes out on a Saturday in a big race and wins them easily. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see Capage making short work of these. And with the four places with Paddy Power, I think Capage each way has to be the play.
Lovely stuff. Let's go to Market Raisin next.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, folks. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Tom Collins, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. Let's move on now from Warwick to Market Raisin, which gets a rare moment in the ITV limelight. They have got three races there, providing it passes an 8 a.m. morning inspection. Hopefully it will, because there's some good stuff at the, where is it? It's the Lincolnshire venue, isn't it, Market Raisin? First race, 2:05. It's the Mansion Bet Handicap Hurdle. Over 2 miles and half a furlong. We're expecting the going to be soft, and we're expecting Edward Stone to be favourite, Graham.
Edward Stone tops the market at 11-10. Oscar's Leader, 7-2. It's 4-1 Langer Dan. Crook's Peak is 8-1. And then Roland Ward, the outsider of the small field, at 9-1, Bruce.
Tom Collins, Edward Stone, favourite of the five runners at 11-10. Is he a jolly we can trust?
Yes. I think this is the moment where we recuperate losses for last time out on Edward Stone. I was very keen on him when he made his chase debut last time. But he was held up in rear and was unsighted at the fourth fence and unfortunately unseated Tom Bellamy that day, which left me cursing. So I'm really hoping that Market Raisin will pass this early morning inspection. His hurdling form is just far better than any of his rivals in this race. I know he has to give plenty of weight away, but the fact that he's been reverted back from fences looks like some kind of retrieval mission. And a repeat of his Greatwood fifth, his penultimate start, would suffice in this field.
I'm glad to hear you say you hope meetings pass your inspection. I saw you got a bit of stick last week for saying you hope Wincanton was off because the horse was doubly declared. Someone on Twitter said, this lad, hoping a meeting's off. Did you see
It was Slate House as well, and then he ended up going to Wincanton when he should have gone to Kempton. Oh, I was gutted.
Never mind. Okay, do we have two votes, Graham, for Edward Stone here?
We certainly do. I think Edward Stone should really win this race. The course finished sixth in the Supreme Novice Hurdle and really should be too good for these. Connections will be happy to, will be wanting to recover the losses when this thing was unseated when sent off favour 2.5 weeks ago at Doncaster. Now, one point worth pointing out about Edward Stone, we're expecting him to be... them to employ hold-up tactics again this Saturday. But do remember his two victories were in 7 and 8 runner races. So even though hold-up tactics are going to be used, I think a small field is going to be right up his street. I'm expecting Gavin Sheehan to bide his time right till the last second and swoop late for the post. So Edward Stone for me.
Okay, when Keith Melrose looked at the decks for this, he would have rubbed his chin and looked at Edward Stone. Now, I'm trying to work out whether he would have said back or lay. I'm going to say lay.
No. I think he is the likeliest winner. I think he's more or less on his price, really, around the even money mark. I think that's the sort of chance he's got. He does have to give away a reasonable amount of weight to these horses. Langerdan's the one I would be scared of particularly, especially with William Marshall's £7 coming off his back. Edward Stone is absolutely the rightful favourite, absolutely deserves to be around the even money mark. Doesn't particularly excite me at the prices he is, but I would rather be a backer than a layer.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. Let's move on to the 240 at market raising. It's the Mansion Bets Bet 10 Get 20 hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. And one of the most popular horses in training and one of the most popular jockeys out there team up for the favourite, Graham.
Yeah, little Rockefeller top in the market here at 15-8 on the blind side, 2-1. So very tight at the top of the market there. Moheyed is 9-2 with Paddy. It's 7-1 Keeper Hill, also 7-1 Vision Day Floss, and 33-1 bar those.
Okay, Graham, can Lil Rockefeller and Briny Frost even get the job done?
Do you know what? I'm very hot on the blind side in this 240 race. Nicky Henderson trains. I've been keeping an eye on Henderson's runners over recent weeks. We've seen a couple of his superstars running below par, the likes of Epitante and Altior. He has won with Shishkin and others, but I just think Henderson's horses have been below their best in recent weeks. But he is coming back with a bang lately. You know, the last 6 horses he sent to post that were priced are 5-2 or shorter. He had 3 winners and 3 seconds. He's actually had 3 winners with his last 4 runners as well. I think this is going to be Henderson's day in this particular race on the blind side. Remember, it was only beaten by McFabulous at Kempton last week, and that McFabulous is 12-1 for the Stayers Hurdle. It was only beaten 2.25 lengths. 2 things that are in a big positive for on the blind side today. The extra 2 furlongs is going to suit the longer run in as well. And I'm very hot on the blind side in this one, Bruce.
Okay. Keith, let's get your view on this. It's really interesting heat, this, isn't it?
It is. And I'm going to have a bit of a go at a slightly bigger price in this one without going into massive stakes. On his chase form, Keeper Hill should be up there higher than he is in the market. And he doesn't jump well, so going back over hurdles shouldn't really hinder him. He's not going to be one of those horses anyway, where he's always going to be much better over fences. And it's just a massive drop in grade for him as well. Since he put up his best run over fences when he was second to Throwdon at Kempton in the Silviaco Conti around this time last year, he's running a handicap hurdle at Musselburgh, admittedly, off a higher mark than Lil Rockefeller was second at Newbury in his last run, actually. And finished a respectable third. And since then, he's running the Charlie Hall, the Betfair Chase, and the Many Clouds, which, you know, is grade one quality races in a lot of cases there. This is a massive, massive drop in class for him. And even what he'd shown in the Charlie Hall when he picked up the pieces a little would have him a lot shorter than the 9-1 you can currently get. So his price is too big.
Keith, with 8 runners, does that lend itself to a perfect each-way play for you?
Yeah, probably would. He's not the most obvious each-way horse you'll ever see in your life, is the only caveat with that. But with 8, you're always thinking along those lines when you've got the dead 8.
Sure. Okay, thank you very much, Keith. And we'll get the views of Tom, who mentioned Moheyed earlier. Is that the one for you?
No, I fancy him for the 10th qualifier. I thought that was his race. Obviously, he's gearing up for Cheltenham. The race conditions of this event just doesn't really suit Moheyed. A bit of a strange move, maybe to protect his handicap mark. By process of elimination, I also don't like Lil Rockefeller. He hasn't won since 2018. Can't be backing him. On the blind side.
Whoa. Not like he's dodgy, is he?
No, no.
He's got a huge heart. I mean, can't hold that against him, can you?
No, he has a huge heart, definitely. It's just that the prices, like anything around 2-1 or shorter for a horse that hasn't won in over 2 years, I just can't be having that in a race that's competitive as well. On the blind side, the quick turnaround after the rail kill last Saturday poses a question mark. He has to give weight away to his rivals. He should be favourite, in my opinion, but I can't be backing him at that price either. Vision the Flow, well, Colin Tizard's not training any winners, as I've already mentioned. So, like Keith, I'm with Keeper Hill. I can't add too much more to what Keith said, although the fact when he finished third in the Grade 3 Gaskells at the Aintree National meeting in 2018 over hurdles, that was a brilliant effort, and a repeat of that would see him definitely hit the three.
Okay, let's move on to our final ITV4 race on Saturday, the 3:15 at Market Raisin. It's the Alan Swinbank Mayor's Standard Open National Hunt Flat Race, over 2 miles, half a furlong. Don't normally get a bumper on the box on a Saturday, but we have here. We've only got 7 runners. That's annoying. How do Paddy Power bet, Graham?
Well, the 7 runners might not be all that annoying when you hear that Paddy Power are actually going 3 places on this race, Bruce.
Oh, good. We enjoy it. We like that. Excellent.
Every little helps now. The betting for this race, Eileen Dover, 11-8. Grangey is a 6-4 shot. Merry Mistress, 9-2. And it's 14-1 bar the 3. So there might be a bit of value there for an each-way play on some of the larger priced horses.
Indeed. 3 places, 7 runners. That's good, Keith, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, I suppose. But it's not a race where I'm betting each way. Eileen Dover, if you swapped the yards, I'm convinced if you swap the yards on these top two in the market, Eileen Dover would be 1-4, not 6-4. This is a really quite exciting filly. She's won, or you can see in the distances, she's won her 2 races. It's 45 lengths or something. But it's not just been about the winning margins. It's been about, this is a horse, it's like a ringer. It's like you've dropped a listed class flat horse into these races that she's been winning. What she's shown is £20 better than Mullen's horse. Who's only had one chance. But this, Eileen Dover, is a very, very exciting horse and should be clear favourite, should be odds on. So, yeah, bet her.
Okay, right. It's really interesting, Tom, this, isn't it? I mean, normally you think bumper, but you've got Willie Mullins runner coming over and Keith thinks absolutely makes the book for Eileen Dover. Do you concur?
Yes, I'm going to be with Eileen Dover, who I can only assume is a relative of Ben Dover, the name that has been wanted a few times by owners, but hasn't passed through the scale at the moment. But I thought her debut success at Huntingdon was the most impressive bumper performance we've seen all year. I think she'll probably record the hat-trick. It's not a race that I'm keen on punting or tipping in, to be fair. Like, even with the 3 places, the third favourite in here is 9-2. You're not going to get much each-way value. Bar those, you've got 14-1, and they look slightly inferior. From what we've seen so far, obviously, they're very unexposed. But I will be with the jolly.
Okay, thank you very much. And Graham, who do you like here?
Well, I was after listening to Keith there. I mean, I'd have to change my mind.
I've told you, Graham, stand your ground.
When a man turns around and says a horse should be 1-4 in a race that's currently priced at 11-8, it's sort of getting me to leave the race alone. But I was very hot on Grangey. Willie Mullins is not sending this one over for the good of his health. And he has, as we all know, he's an embarrassment of talent when it comes to mares. Now, obviously, he's looking for a bit of black type here, so second or third will do. He's booked Nico de Boinville for Grangey. And remember, this thing won pulling a couple of buses and a couple of carts at Galway on October the 25th. So one of the better mares in the Mullen stable, Grangey, this Eileen Dover is going to have to be good to beat it.
I know what you mean. That was very compelling by Keith, I must admit. Okay, chaps, that's the TV action. Let's now turn our attention to anything else you like on Saturday. Don't give your naps away. Let's just take you through what we've got. We've got the rest of Warwick. We've got the rest of Market Raisin. Fingers crossed it passes its inspection. They're racing over in Fairy House. And then all weather fans have got Kempton and Lingfield to occupy them from 11:45 when Lingfield starts to 8:20 when Kempton ends. Keith Melrose, what have you got?
One of my problems is that I'm stubborn. And while Sky Pirate moving down to 2 miles was obviously an inspired choice, there is no way I'm backing that horse in just about any race at 11-10. So he runs in the Edward Courage, the 1:15 at Warwick. It's a race that sometimes gets on the telly, actually, but it hasn't this year. He runs in that race. He's 11-10. And the option I'm not sure I would normally back Amulo Gold, but it's the fact that he is 5-2 against Sky Pirate, who could just do anything. Amulo Gold is, he's shown real hardiness actually in his three runs so far this winter. He won the first two, including beating Iblio in a listed race at Ascot. And then arguably maybe should have beaten First Flow at Ascot just in November there. And the horse that finished third was Capeland, and in fourth, beating Seven Odd Lengths, was Magic Saint, who is rock solid if nothing else. Capeland obviously won last week at Wincanton. First Flow won the Castleford, and is a horse that when the mud is flying is probably mid-150s to 160 level. So Amulo Gold is extreme. He's exactly the sort of horse I'd want to take on Sky Pirate with, so I'm going to put him up in the 150.
Okay, it would have been interesting if Paul Keeley or Frank Hickey had been on. They've got matching Sky Pirate tattoos. They won't hear a word against that one. Tom, what have you got? I'd imagine you're turning your attention to your beloved flat.
For the nap, not just yet, though.
Okay, right. Well, hold fire on that. What else have you got?
Yeah, just one. Haven't had a chance to look at the US action yet, so we're going to be leaving that the stateside fair alone. It's just one.
Just very quickly, Tom. Will you have some US tips on your Twitter feed later for us? Because I always like a Tom Collins US fancy.
Yeah, I think I'll be posting a couple of Saturday evening tips tomorrow morning, Saturday morning around 11 a.m. ish. So make sure.
Remind
to check
us
out the
of
Twitter.
Your slightly unintuitive Twitter handle.
It is at Tompton, TOMPTIN.
Why is that? I keep meaning to ask you why you're called that on Twitter.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wish it wasn't called that, because it's hard to, when you say at Tompton, people are like, how do you spell that? But my mum, back in the day, used to call me, well, it's a nickname, basically. I'm not going to go into it, but it's a nickname, yeah.
What was it, Tintin or something?
Well, something like that, yeah.
Oh, how nice.
Okay. Oh, God. I'm going to get red anyway. Twitter on Twitter for this, aren't I?
No. I just wonder. I think that's very sweet. Okay, Tompton, what did you fancy?
Yeah, just one, which is Kildorrery in the 2:15 at Ferry House to feature Dan and Joan Memorial Handicap Chase. Now, the shunter, I've just found out, has been taken out of the race, which further boosts Kildorrery's each-way chance. Finished fourth in the race the last 2 years, going to be a double-figure price. He's a really hard horse to win with because he just employs extreme hold-up tactics every time he runs because he's so keen early. But his handicaps go close again. I think he's going to hit the frame at a nice price.
Thank you very much. Graham, what have you got for us? Don't give your nap away, pal.
I certainly won't. I was talking about Nicky Henderson earlier on, and I see he's got two runners at Market Raisin this Saturday. And I think Call Away in the 12:20 at Market Raisin could run quite well. It's having its first run following a wind up, reverts to the chase fences after completely flopping 3 months ago. But I just get a sense about Nicky Henderson bouncing back to form. He's been banging in a few winners lately. I think Call Away is going to run very well. And another one I'm going to keep an eye out for as well is a horse having its first run under rules in the finale at Ferry House. Jerry Colombe, Gordon Elliott trains, JJ Codd in the saddle. I don't think there's a jockey anywhere out there with a better clock in his head than Jamie Codd. And I think Jerry Colombe could be worth a look in the 4 o'clock at Ferry House.
Thank you very much. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And as it's his debut show and he's done very well, have you enjoyed yourself today, Graham?
Well, I have indeed. Now, I tell you one thing, I've been jotting down the lads' picks as well, so I'm expecting a profitable day for you, for myself on Saturday. I've never given anything quite so much as a study as I've done for the day's racing, so hopefully I've fished out a few winners. But my nap, on the blind side, I've got blinkers on, got to do with Nicky Henderson this Saturday. He's got two runners, I think, on the blind side. It's been supported since we priced it up at 11-4, backed in. It's currently around 2-1. I'm expecting this thing to go off favourite. Henderson, his horses are back, and they haven't been running great. So on the blind side in the 2:40 at Market Raisin for me.
Oh, that's brilliant, Graham. You can always get extra points on this show for naming the race rather than doing what so many people do, say, you know, in the novice herd or in the last or whatever. Always punters love to know what time the race is and where it is. So well played, you. Good luck with on the blind side. Keith, your nap?
Yeah, I don't actually think she should be 1-4. I said as you thought the yard she would be. I think her genuine price is more like 4-7. But even so, you can back Eileen Dover on the 3:50 at Market Raisin at about 7-4. So she has to be the nap, isn't she?
Thank you very much, Keith and Tom.
Yeah, well, we're going to the flat 7:20 at Kempton. Broughton Sunpearl. I put her up as the nap on Monday's postcast when Maddie was host. When I looked ahead of the decks, I'm still confident that she's going to win. She's about 4-1, which was extremely surprising. She was one of the easiest Kempton winners I've seen in a while when she dotted up last time under Laura Pearson, who can still claim her £7 despite now being a £5 apprentice.
She How do you rate her, Tom? She's good, isn't she?
She's brilliant. She rode the first winner today at Newcastle while we're filming this. She's fantastic. She's going to get so many winners this winter.
Excellent. So Broughton Sun Pearl in the 720 at Kempton. Right then, we promised you there is a really good Sunday highlight, and let's talk about that now. There's two good races, actually, over in Punchestown. But the first one, all eyes on the second coming, Envoie Allen, who's going to be involved in a very, very interesting pre-Cheltenham dust-up with Asterion Falange. The race kicks off the card. It's the 12:50 at Punchestown on Sunday. It's the Skybet Killiney Novices Chase. It's a grade three over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. The terrain is likely to be extremely testing. And Graham, a fascinating race. How did Paddy Power bet on it?
Envoy Allen is 2-5 with us. Syrian Forlonge is 5-2. It's 12-1 Feast Duderies and 25-1 Bar.
Keith, is this look and learn or is there an angle here for a bet?
It's look and learn, really. I mean, if it was the other way round, if it was left-handed, you could make the case for having a good go at Envoy Allen at those odds against Asterion Forlonge. He's both a better jumper and a better horse. But Asterion Forlonge going right, that's more his thing. So it would just temper me from having a decent bet. It is mostly a watching race.
But you'd expect Envoy to come out on top, would you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tom, will there be much between them, do you think?
Well, if you're a ratings analyst, a Racing Post ratings analyst, then there's only £6 between them on their career best in favour of Envoy Allen. Envoy Allen has to give away £11 here, so that's interesting in the case for Asterion Falange. 2-5 is probably short about the jolly saying that. And, you know, I'm tempted to put a small lay in, but he's just a beast, isn't he? Everyone thinks he's the second coming. He probably is the second coming. There's no reason to take him on other than the ratings. So it's probably just a watching brief for me.
And what will you be doing, Graham? Just sitting there glued to it, or do you think you might get involved?
I think I'd be very tempted by the price of Asterion Forlonge at around about 5-2. Like, if you look at the anti-post betting for these two and the big races at Cheltenham, Forlonge is 20-1 shot, Envoy Allen 3-1. I know Envoy Allen likely to go for the Marsh, but he's 10-11 for the Marsh, whilst Asterion Forlonge is 16-1 for that. Of course,
won't be getting £9 either, will he?
This is it.
£11,
£11 swing. I think, you know, and a small field as well, I could see Asterion Forlonge. The connections will be looking to recoup some losses after this thing fell at Limerick when odds on favoured over Christmas. And do you know what? They have their eyes on Cheltenham for Envoy Allen. You know, will they be throwing the kitchen sink, making sure they win this, or minding him, you know? And if Mullins and Townend decide to throw Asterion Forlonge out at helter-skelter speed, the £11 could come in very handy. Listen, the superstar will probably win it, but I can't resist the decent prices, and Asterion Forlonge at 5-2 could be worth a small bet.
Keith, just tell us, in terms of that translation piece between pounds and ounces and lengths, how much better does Envoy have to be in order to successfully concede £11 to his rival here? What's that 11 lengths equate to?
Over 2.5 miles, you're looking at slightly less than £1 a length.
So it's got to be 10 lengths better, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? I think sometimes when you get these races, you're like, well, you know, he's incredible at Envoy, isn't he? He's just going to be brilliant. But, you know, in the same way that everything has their price, everything has a weight that is going to stop them, isn't it?
Yeah, there's terms on which you would back Asterion Forlonge to beat him. And Asterion Forlonge is a very, very good horse. He has his quirks, though. He's not as straightforward as Envoy, as well as being, you know, significantly inferior. And even with that £11 give, it's just not enough.
Okay, very quickly, another good race at Punchestown on Sunday is the 120. It's the Skybet Moscow Flying Novices Hurdle, grade two, over 2 miles. 8 runners and an open-looking betting feel to it, Graham.
Yes, and Master McShee tops our market at 3-1. Magic Tricks, 130. It is 7-2 Ganapathy. Power of Pause, 11-2. 13-2 The Real Deal. And it's 9-1 and bigger the rest.
Tom, have you got any compunction to get involved here?
No, look, I haven't looked at this race in much detail. I really like this Master McShee, though. I watched that race back at Cork in November when he finished second to appreciate it. And that was a really good run at 50-1. There were miles clear of the third that day. He's won both starts since Master McShee. He's a useful-looking horse for unfashionable connections. So it's interesting to see that he's topping the market, given Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott have got unexposed runners in the field. And Ronan McNally's got that classic drill deal at the top. He won a flat handicap of 45. So, yeah, no, it's an interesting race, but it's not one that I'll be punting at this stage.
Graham, do you like anything?
I really like Master McShee, Bruce. Master McShee, trained by, Tom alluded to it as well, unfashionable trainer Paddy Corkery. You know, Paddy Corkery only has three horses in training in his stable. And this Master McShee produced his first winner, apparently, as a trainer on December the 6th. He jumped the last upsides, appreciate it. And was only beaten 2.5 lengths on that particular day. Whatever price it goes off at, it'd go off much, much shorter if it was trained by a more fashionable trainer. And I think everyone likes the story. I think Master McShee, currently 40-1 for the Supreme Novice Hurdle. Could we have a superstar horse in a small stable? That'd be a good story.
It certainly would. We love that, particularly in this era of the super stable. So that'll be interesting. Keith, anything fancy? Anything jump out at you here?
No, I mean, Master McShee's form looks really good, but I couldn't say I know these horses to the depth that would require me to say I absolutely think he'll win this race. It is just good to see a horse of his evident quality with a lesser yard.
Marvellous stuff. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Tom. And thank you to Graham. Well done. A really good postcast debut. I hope we'll have you back on the show very soon. Thanks very much for listening. Maddie's back on Monday to review the weekend, and then we're back next Friday looking ahead to what should be a really good edition of the Clarence House, which might just feature Politologue, Defi Dassault, and various other crack 2 mile chasers. Please don't forget, as we always say on the show, do bet safely and only with money you can afford to lose. We're back next week for more great racing postcasts.